We're discussing today's, we have a few very important topics to enjoy life. People just forget about it. The number one lesson of the morning is going to be enjoy the pursuit of life. Enjoy the pursuit of life. So everyone, they're always running. You know, if you notice, this is the Northeast. In the Northeast, everyone's running. You know, there's a beautiful story. One of the Russian writers, I think it was Tolstoy, he says this story of a person was running. And he passed his son, and the son said, "Dad, can you give me some time?" And he says, "No, I'm busy right now." He passes his wife. His wife says, "Can you help me shopping?" "I'm busy right now." So the story is that he worked for a landowner, and the landowner says, "I'll give you as much land as you can run around in one day." So he passed his son. "My son, I'm busy right now. I'm running, but it's for you. I'm running for you." And his wife, "Can you help me with shopping?" "No, I'm running for you. I'm running for you." And he passed the rabbi, and says, "Come for the minyan." And I'm running, I can't, when I get to my destination afterwards, call me afterwards. And he's running, and he covers this amazing amount of ground in one day. And the landowner says, "Wow, that's amazing, you covered so much ground." And the guy says, and he fell down, and he died. Give him 6 feet, and that's all that he could take. The landowner said, "Give him 6 feet. He can only take 6 feet. He's buried in 6 feet. That's it. How much land can we take with us? We're running. And what can we take with us?" And the answer is, we can't take anything with us. We can't take anything with us. We can, even the 6 feet we're in, you've got to be lucky they don't dig you up again. The way, you know, land's going over here. They redevelop the land. They dig people up. So it's a very morbid story, okay? But it's a true story. We can't take it. You know, once we had over here a janitor. I'm sure he was Jewish, or a little bit Jewish. Anyway, his grandchildren are Jewish. Why? Because his son married a Jewish girl. That's the way it is in America, right? So if you're not Jewish, your grandchildren will be Jewish. We have the president tonight, today. His grandchildren are Jewish. It's a very strange world. We're living in a very weird world. Anyway, so he was 70 years old. We had a janitor here. He would come and volunteer. He built all these beautiful bookcases for free. We paid for the labor. We paid for the material, but he donated his labor. A lot of his time was donated. Amazing, very nice guy. And so one day I see him driving a bright red Mustang. He bought this bright red Mustang. He's 75 years old. So I said, "Rocky," he said, "what are you doing with his car?" He said, "There's no pockets in the shrouds. I can't take anything with me.
Right.
Might as well enjoy it here." So he's enjoying life. So he's driving this. So it's interesting. Now we're all on this journey in life. And all of us try and set goals. Have a goal. I want to do this, you know, in 2 years' time, I'll reach this level. In 3 years' time, hopefully a person has goals, because without goals, a person does nothing. A person who has no goals will not aspire to do anything. We all have to have goals, you know. Just to give a good example, I once went to visit someone. They invited me to Friday night to come to sing. I don't go and eat there, but they come to sing after the, okay, so I go to sing. And I see over there an older gentleman, very nice guy. Everyone knows him, I'm not going to mention his name. And he was very exhausted. It was 10 o'clock at night, and we're singing, and he was very tired. I said, "Why are you tired?" He said, "I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I learn Mishnah, and I learn Talmud. I have a goal to finish Shas. I want to finish the whole Talmud." He wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's a good goal. What a goal. Imagine. He said, "Before I die, I want to complete the whole Talmud." Fantastic. Look at that. Sadiq. This guy's a Sadiq. So everyone who has a goal, make it a good goal. Might as well have a good goal. But we're all rushing towards a goal. The trouble is, a person is not enjoying life. He says, "I can't enjoy life till I reach my goal." Disaster. Why? Because who knows if he's going to... Number one is, who knows if a person is going to reach their goal. Number two is, every day that goes by without enjoying life, you're missing out. Hashem put us into this world. People don't realize it. Hashem put us into this world to enjoy life. Where did I hear this from? I heard it from your rabbi, Rabbi Bolka.
Sounds right.
Rabbi Bolka has this book. What was the book? I don't know. Something about happiness. I know. So, okay. Anyway, he's an interesting guy. He has this theory that if you look at all the mitzvot, or every single mitzvah is enjoyable. So obviously the question we have is, what about Brit Milah? Circumcision. How enjoyable is that? And the answer is, that's why the child is 8 days old. Doesn't know what's going on. No man remembers what happened to circumcision. And plus, at that age, the child's nerve endings are very not developed yet. So it's about as much pain for the child as changing a diaper. They're screaming anyway, isn't it? You change a diaper, they start screaming. So, okay. But Baruch Hashem. So Hashem put us into this world to have a good time. We don't really realize that. But good, it's an ethical term, not a happy term. That's the point. People forget this word, good. In America, a person had a good time. Doesn't mean it's a good time. It means, I don't know what the person was doing. The word good is not, it's an ethical term, which would be misused today. A person could be doing bad things and say, I had a good time doing bad things. That's not good. He's not having a good time. Hashem put us in this world to enjoy life. Right? Hashem didn't put us in the world to suffer. Hashem is a good God. Hashem is a kind God. Hashem wants us to enjoy life. We have to enjoy life. How do I enjoy life? I have to have a goal. I have to reach my goal. Right? I got to put my kids through college. I got to put my kids through yeshiva. Oh boy, that's a lot of work. And the answer is, don't get lost in the goal. Make sure you enjoy getting to the goal. And that's a very important thing. And that is chapter 26. Enjoy the pursuit of the goal. A lot of people forget this. They say, until I reach my goal, I'm nervous, I'm stressed, I'm this, I'm that, I can't, I need to reach this goal. So when I establish a successful business, then I'll be happy. Right now, I'm not happy, I'm tense and nervous, I put so much money on the line. When I get married, I'll be happy, but until then, I don't see how I can be happy. Well, you know, people always have, Rabbi Rieti has a line, he says, when I get married, I'll be so happy. When I get divorced, I'll be so happy. When I get the job, I'll be so happy. When I lose the job, I'll be so happy. We're crazy. Our goals, it all depends on a whim. Many people today run their lives on whims, right? Well, my book is published and happiness will be mine. I can't wait to get the book off the stores. People are giving me such bad reviews. I can't, you know, people, when I finish school, I'll be happy. Until I graduate, how can you expect me to be happy? And the answer is, goals are useful to accomplish. But the error is, I can't be happy till I reach my goal. That's almost fatal error. Person has to enjoy life. We all have goals. We want to reach our goals, right? We want to reach our targets. But in the meantime, person's not being happy. So what's the use of that? So a person has to learn to enjoy the trip. And that's a very, very important concept. Life is a trip through life. We're tripping, we're walking through life, we're journeying through life. And we have to enjoy each day. Every day we have to enjoy. Yes. Yes, in God's eyes, effort counts. How do we know? Fum sara agra. The more trouble, the more reward. It doesn't matter what a person achieves. They tried. If a person tried, Hashem says you tried. The Gemara says, Hashem b'saref machshava tova lemaaseh. God counts a good thought as a good deed. Obviously, a person can't do it. A person says, I want to go to the hospital and see someone. But you know what, I'm not feeling well myself, but I really wish I could go. It's count as if you did. It's like you went already. Very famous question. Halakhic question. Pollard was in jail, and in this jail he had a toilet. Or Sharansky was in jail, and in the jail he had a toilet. How can you pray over there? You got a toilet in your room. So it depends. If the toilet's clean, there's no odor. The Gemara says there's a toilet of the old Persians. It just had a hole in the ground, and there was a dugout underneath, and all the dirt would just fall in. So the room itself is clean. The room is clean and there's no dirt in the room, you can pray over there. But the toilet is dirty and they can clean it, which I don't know what it's like in a jail. I can assume it's, I don't know. I don't want to find out. But you can say it's dirty. Well, you can't pray over there. What do you do? What does a person do in a place where you can't pray? You can't wait to fill in. You can't pray. What do you do? And the answer is, you think, I want to pray. The person thinks, I want to. So imagine he spends his time thinking, I want to pray. Hashem says, it's as if you prayed. Okay, fine. Interesting. So we are rewarded for trying. It's the effort a person puts in. But in this physical world, there's no, you tell the guy, you know, how come you're not a millionaire? But I tried. Who cares? We tried. You failed. You're a failure. In this world, it doesn't count. Trying does not count over here. So how can I be happy if I didn't succeed yet? I'm a failure. I didn't succeed yet. So the answer is, we have to learn to enjoy the trip. We have to enjoy the challenge and the act of just achieving something, of trying to achieve. So setting and reaching goals enables a person to accomplish. The common error is to think you have to wait to reach your goal to be happy. And it's wrong. A person has to enjoy the whole process. We have to try and enjoy the process of being successful. So I'm not successful yet. But the process is enjoyable. A person's got to learn to enjoy the process of raising children. It's a hard way. You got to learn that, you know, only afterwards you appreciate it. Say, well, I missed those kids when they were young. You know, a person's got to enjoy the process. It's hard sometimes. But the process.
They always say, oh, yeah, my best time was when they were the same age your kids are.
That's right. It's true. You don't think so now, but wait till you get older. When you get old, you'll say, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss these kids running around. It gives you life. It gives you vitality. But it's going to enjoy it. You know what? And when you enjoy it, there's less pressure. When you have less pressure, you're less pressured. You'll enjoy it more, and they'll enjoy it more. So it's very important to be less stressed. And the kids can know if you're stressed. And when you're stressed, that's when they act up. It's amazing. They feel it. So there's a beautiful story in the Gemara. The Gemara says, there's a rabbi who would teach a student. And the student was a very poor student. And one day the rabbi was in a rush. He was going to a wedding. Every day he had to repeat his lesson 100 times. But this time he repeated it 400 times and he still didn't get it. He said, how come you didn't get it? Every day you get it after 100 times. He said, because I feel you're in a rush. I can't, my mind can't focus. So I said, he sat down and he repeated it again.
400 times.
I don't know how many times. Anyway, so, and he heard the voice came out of heaven, this rabbi is going to Olam Haba. What do you mean? It's patience and patience. It's amazing. So the kids can feel the stress and they react. We don't really realize it. They're very, very sensitive. Children are very, very sensitive. And then we become sensitive. If we're sensitive as well, nothing's going to work. So it's interesting. Suppose we've got to set goals. Obviously, we need to set goals. But not to think that I'll only be happy when my goal is reached. Imagine the Jews going through the desert to Mount Sinai. Okay. So 50 days they're walking. But if the attitude is, right now it's hot, and right now it's this, right now that, no, they're going to be happy to go, I'm going towards Har Sinai. We're walking towards Har Sinai. And that should be our attitude in life, is we're walking towards a goal. And every day, it's not like you're not achieving part of your goal. You're achieving part of your goal. Every day we grow, you're achieving part of your goal. It's not, you didn't achieve the whole goal, you're achieving part of the goal. Every day you pray, you're achieving part of the goal. Every day you learn Torah, you're achieving part of the goal. So it's not like I can't achieve the whole goal. No one achieves the whole goal. So a person should be happy every single step of the way. That's the hard part. So in a day like this, how can you not be happy? You go outside. The Arizal says, interesting, he says, to have a window in your house. So today we don't appreciate. A person has a window in the house, they can see the sky. Arizal says, so important to have a window in your house. It's also in a synagogue. A synagogue's got 12 windows above street level, which means you can see the sky. Why? It helps the person's concentration. They can say, thank you, Hashem, for building this beautiful world. So it's important to have that concept in the head. Thank you, Hashem, for this beautiful world. Hashem says, oh, you appreciate it, I'll give you more. You don't appreciate it, I'll give you less. You appreciate my world, you can enjoy it more. I'll help you enjoy life more. The more we appreciate God's world, the more Hashem helps us to appreciate. So it's very hard, but we have to enjoy the process, the entire process. And sometimes it's a horrible process, but it's a learning process. Person says, you know, I'm learning so much now. And sometimes person's under pressure and they start learning to learn. They start saying Tehillim. I want to say Tehillim every day, but it says a few psalms every day. It's such a powerful thing. It's a person to lift. We see how many troubles David HaMelech had, and you'll see your life, and you'll say, hey, compared to his life, my life is a breeze. He's running away, hiding over here, hiding over there. They're trying to kill him. King Saul, his father-in-law, is trying to kill him. The Philistines are trying to kill him. Everyone's trying to kill him. So we have to learn to enjoy the process. Ah. That's a hard one. That's a very important idea, to learn to enjoy the process. So enjoying the journey of the goal. So it's not just the trip. I'm going to so-and-so place. Enjoy the airline. I don't know if you can. Enjoy the flight. You're flying in the sky. Enjoy the food. I don't know if you can, but try your best to enjoy the trip. Instead of kvetching, I went this. It happened to me once. They forgot my meal. I'm flying for 6 hours. I don't know what. No meal, so I'm starving. So whatever, what can I do? So it depends. So you got to change your attitude. You got to change your attitude, that's all. So instead of grouching and getting and angry, what are you going to do? You're going to ruin yourself. They don't care. The airline doesn't care. So when you set a goal for yourself, you have a better chance of succeeding. But experiencing positive emotions when working on your goal will give you greater amounts of energy with which to work on your projects. So a person is working towards a goal. He's getting his college degree or whatever it is. But he doesn't enjoy it. It's like a tedious, monotonous, and boring, and this and that. But if that, then how's he going to work on his goal? He's not going to look forward to working on the goal. It's going to reduce his energy to work on the goal. So experiencing positive emotions when working on the goal will give a person greater amounts of energy to work on their projects. Beautiful. And if you don't reach your goal, no problem. Just set another goal. Okay. Now we come to a true case. It's a true case of a man who is busy at work with different projects. You know, sometimes engineers or computer programmers, whatever, they have a project. and they all have to work on this project. And while he was working on this project, he got crazy. He went crazy. His wife couldn't talk to him, he would snap at her. And his children couldn't talk in the house, and he was screaming and ranting and raving. And why? I'm under pressure, I'm on project. I'm under pressure, project. When his project was finished, he was calm for 2 weeks. Then the next project, and then he goes crazy again. So now what's going on? His wife says, I can't take this anymore. We need to go for counseling. Let's go counseling. But he claimed it wasn't his fault. Not my fault. So what happened one day, he was driving, and he was driving fast, because, again, he doesn't enjoy driving. He enjoys getting to his goal. Very goal-oriented. So the trip itself, I don't want a trip. I just want to get there as fast as possible. Police gives him a speeding ticket. He starts screaming at the policeman. Why are you? Who? I'm trying to get to work. Why are you stopping me to get to work? I'm trying to get to work. So the judge throws the book at him and says, why are you screaming? He says, it's not my fault. I had to do it. I had to get my work. And you stopped me to get to work. It's not my fault. So the judge says you have to go counseling to deal with stress. You can't deal with stress. You have to go to counseling. So now the husband agrees to go to counseling with his wife because the judge says he has to go to counseling. So he's got to find a counselor anyway. So he's going to go counseling. So the counselor says, how much of the time do you spend on working on goals? And how much of the time do you just enjoy the fact that you reach your goal? Think about it. How much time does a person spend on their goals? That's a long time. How much time do they spend enjoying that they've reached their goal? Very short time. It's interesting that, you know, there's a concept in Judaism of making a kiddush. You reach a goal, you reach a milestone in your life, you have to rejoice. It's a very beautiful concept. Where does it come from? And the answer is there's one of the sacrifices called a korban todah, a thanksgiving offering. And the thanksgiving offering is very interesting because when you bring a thanksgiving offering, apart from the animal you bring as a sacrifice, you have to bring 40 loaves of bread. 40 loaves of bread, 30 of them are matzah, and 10 of them are chametz. It's very unusual in the temple to have chametz. But you have 40 loaves of bread. Obviously, a person can't finish 40 loaves of bread by themselves. What do? They bring all their family, all their friends. Everybody. Everyone has to enjoy this korban todah. This Thanksgiving offering is enjoyed by 40 loaves. So how many people? 40 loaves. That's at least 120. I don't know, hundreds of people. That was the origins of the Kiddush. The idea of when you're happy, don't just keep it to yourself. Make other people happy as well. Make other people ecstatic. So a person makes a kiddush for a good event. It's very, very powerful. Because everyone is now enjoying his event. And Hashem says, this guy had one thing that happened to him and everyone enjoyed. Let's give him some more good things everyone can enjoy. He's making people happy. So it's very important. It's a very beautiful idea. So now the person finishes the project. How much time does a person actually benefit? Maybe he'll take his wife out for a lunch or dinner. Maybe. If he's done. Once, maybe. He won't shout and scream for 2 weeks. Okay. But look at the time, the project, which is 3 months or whatever, and he's going crazy. So how much time do you actually enjoy finishing the goal, and how much time were you sick getting to the goal? My husband tried to give an honest answer. We're on page 75. Beautiful story. He saw the majority of the time he's working towards a goal. If he kept up his present attitude, he'd need to feel stressed out. Whenever he was trying to reach a goal, he would feel much stress and tension and very little satisfaction. So look, I only enjoy 2 weeks, but I'm working for 6 months. I don't have any enjoyment. So 2 weeks out of, what is that percentage? That's terrible. 2 weeks out of 6 months. It's 1/12. It's not even 10. It's not even 20. It's 10%. So there's two kinds of drivers. So imagine you have to drive to Florida. Oh boy. I had to drive to North Carolina. It's a gorgeous drive. It's a beautiful drive. I drove there at night, but I drove back in the day. Oh, what a difference. Especially if you drive on the mountains, Virginia. Oh, it's so gorgeous. The scenery. It's so beautiful. So, you know, you can go just for the trip. And that's where you won't feel so stressed. When you join the scenery on the side. You know, today the highways, they just put up these walls. The turnpike, they put these big walls over there. It's not even enjoyable anymore to drive. They make it like you're driving around a corridor. You can't even see the scenery on either side. There's no scenery anymore. But when you can't see the scenery, it's enjoyable. So, especially nice weather, and it's enjoyable. Wow, it's beautiful. So then you're enjoying the trip. You're not just going for the goal and say, I got 2 more days to drive. You've got another 15 hours to drive. It's boring, it's tedious, it's monotonous. I'll just drive as fast as possible. You're not going to enjoy yourself. It's going to be very tense. So the idea is to enjoy the trip in life every day. Enjoy the day. Enjoy what's going on. Enjoy the trip. So he says, the man changed. And now he says, it's amazing how much I enjoy myself daily. It was crazy of me to make myself and the entire family so miserable just because I was working towards a goal. So here, that's a very important tip. Freudian slip. It was important. The tip is to enjoy the trip. And so that's number one lesson for today. Enjoy the trip. You know, so I got to say a joke. It's a very nice joke I said yesterday. This woman, you know, Jewish law is very strange. Why? Because you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew on Shabbat to do something for you directly. You cannot tell them. You can ask to do something that they can enjoy themselves, for themselves, and by the way, you can enjoy it as well. So, for example, someone walks in, it's dark in the room, you can tell them, don't you need light? Come and read something over here. So, no, I can't read because there's no light. So, well, if you want to read, you can switch on the light for yourself. Right. So, you switch on the light for themselves, and okay, please don't switch it off. That's fine. Happened to me when I was in hospital. I had a nurse over there, and it's pretty dark. It's Shabbat. It's pretty dark. And so she came to put my IV or whatever. I said, don't you need more light? She said, no. I said, but you know, it's pretty dark in here. And she said, okay, if you want, you switch on the lights. I said, it's my Sabbath. I can't switch on the light. But I can't tell you to switch it off for me. You can only switch it off if you need it. She said, oh, that's nice. Okay, well, maybe I'll switch on the light anyway. Maybe another nurse will need it. Okay. She got hold of amazing, she got hold of it. That's what she did. So she switched it on. She said, you're right, maybe it's too dark for another nurse. So she switched on for the other nurse, thank God. Baruch Hashem. Okay, but here's this woman. Can you imagine this woman? It's a very, very tall building, and she's at the lobby, a Jewish woman. And she's waiting downstairs by the elevator. And a guy passes by, says, Mrs. Rabinowitz, how are you doing today? She said, well, I'm going up to my nephew's birthday. It's his fifth birthday. So the guy gets into the elevator, his fifth birthday, presses number five for her. She goes up number five, and now she's standing outside on the way down. So she's standing outside. The same guy happens to pass by, he's going down as well. So, Mr. Rabinowitz, how are you doing today? Nice to see you. He said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to my grandson's birthday. He said, which birthday? Lobby, lobby, lobby. Okay, it's just a joke. All right. So it's good to be happy. So now, if you had to choose, now we come to chapter 27, which is a chapter about motivation. And this is very important, raising children, dealing in schools, motivating ourselves, talking to other people to motivate other people. It's very important for a rabbi to motivate as well. And if it's negative motivation, people are not going to show up. It's very important to use positive motivation. So now you have a choice. And you see these teams, the Knicks and the Nets, losing. Every game they're losing. What's going on? What do you see the coach is telling them? So can you imagine if you have a coach who's just nasty and knocking them every time. What's going to happen? They're going to lose all their self-esteem. And they're going to be a bunch of losers. You guys are a bunch of losers. You guys, you can't win a game. You're useless. Your awful job, your failure. If you keep this up, you're going to ruin your life. You're going to be totally miserable. How can you be so stupid? I haven't seen anyone worse. Come on. Oh, boy. Who's going to come back for the next game? Or you're improving. Keep it up. You made a lot of progress. I know you're going to continue to make even more progress. Learn from each mistake. You're going to succeed. See yourself reaching your goals and all the benefits. You will feel yours. Feel the great energy this will give you right now. Which coach would you choose? The first one or the second one? Obviously, the second one. You know, we're our own coaches. We forget that we are our own coaches. We are talking to ourselves all the time. We talk to ourselves in our heads all the time. And what we say to ourselves also has tremendous impact. So a person says to themselves, I'm useless, I'm this, I'm useless, I'm failing, I'm this, I'm that. Obviously, what do you think is going to happen? The guy's talking to himself, failure. We have to change that internal conversation. And sometimes our kids have the same. And you know what? The kids go through different stages in life. And sometimes they're very depressed. So you see today, some kids are very, very depressed. They don't get positive reinforcement at home. They don't get positive reinforcement in school. They don't get positive reinforcement. You know, I had a kid in my school. I talked about him last time. That I could deal with the guy. Then I found out his father was in jail. You know, one of the teachers said, leave him alone. His father's in jail. And he would come to school with a terrible attitude. His face was depressed. He'd throw his kippah. Can you imagine? Jewish school. He'd throw his kippah on the floor. And no. And so I just left him alone. Came to give him a smile. Can you clean the he liked cleaning the board. So clean the board for me and give him a smile. I'll write his name on the board. Yeah, thank you. You did a big mitzvah today. Totally different kid today. This kid is a totally different kid today. Positive reinforcement. He couldn't find someone to help him. You know, sometimes we have groups doing work, group work. He wants, come sit next to me, I'll help you. Different kid today. Where's his yarmulke? He smiles. It's a different... And that's the only way to do it. That's the only way to do it. Why? You got to build up the kid's self-esteem. You know, self-esteem, no one cared about him.
He's got to go to jail and help his father.
It's not a joke. I hope the father's out. I don't know. I didn't ask. Maybe the father's out. Maybe the father's home. But you can see the kid has changed. He's much happier. He's much better with himself. But it's important. And the trouble is we don't understand what people are going through. But if you can give a smile and you give a cheer, even someone you don't know. It's interesting. I was at the supermarket the other day, and there was a woman trying to be really nice to the teller. To the cashier. What time do you start working? What time did? And the cashier didn't care. So the cashier was in their own world and trying to get rid of another customer. But she's trying to be nice, really, and have a great day. And nothing. No response at all. But she was trying to be really nice. And I thought that was very nice of her. And she's going out of her way to be nice. Anyway, so we could try, but we have to be nice to ourselves as well. How do I know we have to be nice to ourselves? Where do you learn it from? You have to l'recha kamocha. You have to love your friend as you love yourself. That means we have to love ourselves. People forget that part. We have to love ourselves instead of putting and saying, I'm a failure. Maybe you are a failure. But listen, we're going to talk about that's the next chapter. A very, very important chapter. Not to harp on the past, because by harping on the past, you're wasting the present. Very, very important. We're going to come to that next chapter. But let's talk about positive energy, positive motivation. How do we talk to ourselves? So there's people who talk to themselves in a very negative fashion. You're useless, you're lazy, you're this, you're that. You'll never achieve anything in your life, you're finished. But they're not going to achieve. Very simple. Because they already told themselves in their head they're not going to achieve. But if they say in their head, I'm a winner, I'm of this. And that's what we have to tell our kids. You're a winner. You're bright. You're this, you're that, you're good. You're da, 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 da. That's the pep talk we have to tell our kids. That's the pep talk. We are the coaches. Parents are the coaches, but we're also our own coaches. We coach ourselves. I can do it. So, the first pattern really causes anxiety and stress. You're this and you're that. You're useless. You're failure. This and that. Anxiety and stress. But you tell people positive things. The same advantage. We want to motivate ourselves and say good things to ourselves. And motivate ourselves. You know, you can do it. You can do it. You don't know your potential. It's amazing how much potential people have. We don't know our own potential. We don't know our own potential. You know, yesterday I was talking about an interesting Gemara in Ketubot about, for example, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara calls him Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. He's called Rabbi Eliezer, the great Rabbi Eliezer. Who is Rabbi Eliezer, the great Rabbi Eliezer? And the answer is his name was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. And Hyrcanus was a very, very wealthy man. And his son Eliezer was 28 years old. His father's a big landowner, and his son is in charge of plowing the fields for his father, and he's plowing the field one day. He said, I'm 28 years old, I want to go and learn Torah. I've had enough of this life. This is not my life for me. I want to go and learn Torah. I want to become spiritual. I want to see the rabbis, and I want to see what they're learning. I want to learn Torah. His father says, you're 28 years old, you're past it already. Have kids, and your kids will learn Torah. Give up on yourself, have kids, and your kids will learn Torah. It's very tempting. So Eliezer says, no. He ran away and he joined the shiur of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Everyone's heard of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, chief rabbi at the time of the destruction of the temple, terrible time of history. But he joins the shiur of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, he became one of the top students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai calls him Borasud. Borasud means a sealed cistern. He doesn't lose a drop of what I tell him. Not a drop of water can be lost from this man. You know, they put all the rabbis of Israel in one side of a scale, and you put him on the other side of the scale, he'll outweigh them all. They call him Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Now, if he had given up on himself, we wouldn't have Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. He didn't give up on himself. There's another rabbi.
What's his last name?
Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Hyrcanus. Ben Hyrcanus. They never had last names in those days.
Because he
achieved,
he makes his children achieve.
Very good. He had no children. He didn't have a children yet. But eventually, yes, exactly. And then we know Rabbi Akiva, 40 years old. He could have just given up on himself. I'll raise my children. We wouldn't have Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the whole Torah today comes from Rabbi Akiva. Can you imagine? 40 years old, if he gave up on himself, his wife built him up. Rachel built him up. She said, you can do it. I can see you can do it. 24 years later, he comes back, 24,000 students. Whew. Who can do that? 24,000 students. And there was another rabbi, Rabbi Chama ben Bisa. Rabbi Chama ben Bisa says, very interesting story. He says, he asked his wife, please, can you give me some time off? I'm going to go to yeshiva. His wife says, okay. 10 years later, he comes back. Some time off, right? And his son, he doesn't want to scare his wife, so he doesn't go home. Come on, he doesn't want to give her a shock. So he sends a messenger telling his wife, I'm in the Beit Midrash, local Beit Midrash. And I'm coming. I'm on my way home. So who comes? His son comes to see whether his father knows what he's talking about now. His father learned anything. So he didn't recognize his son. Imagine, he didn't recognize his son 10 years later. The son now is grown up. The son comes and he's asking his father questions. Mm-hmm. And the father's answering the son's question. He doesn't know it's the son. He's asking the question. He's asking such great questions. The father says, wow, that kid is, this guy is so smart. So now he comes home. He sees his wife. Okay, fine. 10 years later, his wife's very happy. And the son comes into the house. He doesn't know it's the son. He stands up for this boy. Because he's so learned. And the mother says, why are you standing up for your own son? And the son stood up for him and he stood up for his... Such a beautiful story. Such a beautiful story. So it's amazing. So now the son says, wow, my father knows what he's doing. So the son is giving respect to his father. And the father is giving respect to his son. It's beautiful. So it's a beautiful thing. So can you imagine a person says, you know, if I can't do it. I can't do it. So now what about... One whole generation is lost. One whole generation is lost. In fact, that's how the rabbis explain the debate between Yitro and Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Yitro, stay with us. You'll be a member of the Sanhedrin. You're such a brilliant guy. Stay with us. Stay with us. Learn with us. And Yitro says, I'm like a candle between the sun and the moon over here. What does that mean? You, Moshe, are like the sun. You're glowing with knowledge. Aaron is like the moon. He's glowing with knowledge. And I'm like a little candle. Well, what am I going to give to the Jewish people? Let me go back to Midian and convert the Midianites. He goes back to Midian. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you stay here and you can be one of the members of the Sanhedrin. You can develop yourself. And that's what Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot. It's better to be the tail of a lion than be the head of the fox. You can stay here and be the tail of the lion. Instead of going home and becoming the head of the fox. And what happens? He goes back to Midian and the Midianites attack the Jews. So he didn't really have an effect on Midian. The only good effect he had was on his children, because you do find his children moved to Israel and lived in Jericho and Jericho, in that area of Jericho. So it's interesting. So that was the debate. Am I going to go back? Not go back. What about you? Forget about am I children, am I this, am I that? What about you? Maybe you're going to be the next Rabbi Akiva. Maybe you're going to be the next Bruria. Amazing. What a brilliant idea. We have to learn how to motivate ourselves. That's anything. Person says, I can't do it. I can't do it. My kids will do it. Okay, very nice. But if you can't do it, maybe they also will have the same excuse. So a person has to have... There's a beautiful story. Who's the rabbi who tells? Rabbi Gifter. Rabbi Gifter was a kid. And when he was a kid, can you imagine, think of this kid, this advanced kid. He has all these rabbi pictures on his room. And he has an empty space over there. So it's over there, why not you? And today his picture's up there. He's one of the greats. So amazing. That's what a great idea. I want to be like this. I want to be like this, and I'm going to be like that. I'm going to be one of these greats. Amazing. What a great. That's great. So how many people have that idea that I could do it? Not me, someone else. My children, my grandchildren, my this, my that. What about you? It's not too late. Once you give up on yourself, you're finished. That's it. Person finishes. That's it. 100%. 100%. That's it. And so Rabbi Akiva came back with 24,000 students. Can you imagine? So maybe he had 2-3 kids, but he has 24,000 students he could impact. Amazing. He impacted the whole of Klal Yisrael. So we have to know how to motivate ourselves. So first Rabbi Akiva says, I can't do it. Until he saw the water on the rock, made a hole in the rock. Persistence, 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 you can do it. If you're persistent, you can do it. You know, I was discussing my son, my brother. My brother's a rabbi in England, and he was talking about two great rabbis we both know. He says, this guy is a genius, and this guy was not a genius, but he, only through his persistence, he studied. It's amazing. Some people are geniuses, but a person through their persistence can also become very knowledgeable. He's not a genius, but he's persistent, 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 and he got the same level. Amazing.
I'm curious, like, is motivation, is that like partly inherited?
Not inherited, but it can be developed by the parents. It can be developed by the parents.
People are just very driven to begin with. Like, they don't even need to be motivated.
Okay, halavai. Okay, maybe let's say it is.
What?
Obviously it is. It's DNA. It's one's DNA. So maybe their parents are both motivated, and the kid grows up motivated. Mm-hmm. I have some very bright kids in my class because the parents are pretty brilliant. I have a girl in my class. She's a genius girl. So what do your father do? He's a professor of math. Okay. And your mother? Oh, she's a professor of something else. Brilliant girl.
You know, I just feel like with my son, his parents are just normal at motivated. Okay. When he was 5 years old, he told me he wanted to go to Princeton University.
Beautiful.
And he went to Princeton University.
Beautiful.
He was five.
Okay, what's his next goal? That's the question.
What?
What's the next goal?
Oh, so, no, he was... Whatever.
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, so...
That's it, so... So some kids are born with it. Yes.
Yeah,
definitely. But again, you can destroy it. The parents can destroy it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you didn't was a good thing already. Mm-hmm. Baruch Hashem. We had a kid in our shul. He's 5 years old. He said, Mommy, I want to be a rabbi. No! No, don't even say about it. No, you're not allowed to be a rabbi. No. He barely comes to shul. Yom Kippur, he comes. But she destroyed him. He wanted to be a rabbi, imagine. Instead of motivating him, helping him, no. Destroyed him. Shame, tragic. So another rabbi is lost. He could have been a very good rabbi. So we have to learn how to motivate ourselves. We learn to talk to ourselves. We have to learn internal conversation. It's so powerful. And how do we talk to ourselves? What do we say to ourselves? So a person motivates themselves with heavy criticism also tends to use that on other people as well. So a person's going to use a soft touch. Choose positive words of encouragement. Believe in the potential of children, students, and everyone else you want to motivate. And the truth is, once you give up your belief in them, they know it, and they give up on you as well. A person has to have belief that they're going to be. So, he writes over here, page 77. I'm an educator. Part of my job is to motivate my students both in their studies and help build their character. I used to feel that if I was soft, they wouldn't take me seriously. I'm hard on myself, and although many of my students would think I'm tough with them, I'm really easy on them than I am on myself. Some students would drop out. I would blame them for not being serious enough. Then one day I read a book called The Delicate Balance. I never read this book, but it's apparently a very good book. The Delicate Balance, which described how children should be spoken to with positive wording instead of negative wording. I tried this with my students, and I was astonished how much my positive wording was so effective. When I motivate my students with positive outcome wording, they tend to speak to themselves this way. They become joyously motivated, and both their studies and character are improved, along with their becoming happier throughout the day. So positive reinforcement helps and makes people happy, and happy to do things on what they're doing. And that's what schools, you see, the kids in schools today are pretty happy. They want to go to school, which is my time, forget about it, no one wants to go to school. It's just such a dreary, tough atmosphere. School is like a jail, basically, in those days. And if you don't behave, you get, you know, there's no positive motivation. It was all negative motivation. Okay. Now we come to a very important concept, and that is time. We just briefly touched on it. Page 79. I keep focusing on the troubles I've had in the past, and that prevents me from enjoying life. You hear it so many times. But it just focuses the past. So, you know the story, the couple came to the psychologist, and the husband turns to the psychologist and says, you know, whenever we discuss everything, my wife becomes so historical. The counselor says, you mean hysterical? He says, no, I mean historical. She starts telling me about the past. You did this, and you did this, and you did this. When I was in Vancouver, there's a couple who were going out for a while. And one day the woman comes to me, and she says, I made up my mind, I want to marry him. I said, don't. Do yourself a favor, don't marry him. This guy, he flirts with every woman on the street. Don't marry him. No, I'm going to marry him. Nope. And she got married. And then she comes to me like 2 months later and she says, you're right. I says, no, I don't listen to you now. I'm not right. You're right. You got married, you're stuck. And she brings me a whole list of things that he's doing. And she goes, da-da-da-da-da. I says, sorry, throw away the list and focus now on the positive and make your marriage work. You took the lunch, you make your way. I told you not to get married, but now. So you told me not to get married. You were right. I said, no, I'm not right. I'm saying before you got married. Now you're married, you're stuck with it, and you make it work. And she made it work. Throw away the list. Because once you keep a list, and you're historical, then you have all these negatives on the guy's mark now. You 3 strikes and you're out today. He has many strikes. Work on the positive, and she changed him. And he was committed to his relationship with her. It's amazing. And it worked in the end. So she was right in the end. But she had to make it work. You have to do a lot more work. So once you focus on the troubles of the past, your past is going to ruin your present. That's a trouble. That's a trouble. You're going to jump over the past. So a person, you have two kinds of people. One person living in the past. My troubles of the past, all these problems of the past, Listen, if we Jews would focus on all the troubles in our past, we wouldn't live. We'd die. We'd commit suicide. Think about it. If a person, all they see is Holocaust. That's why you can't teach Holocaust every day in the school. The kids will be turned off Judaism. It's not something you teach your kids. It's something you teach them at Tisha B'Av. If ever. Tisha B'Av. You know, scare. I grew up as a kid, traumatized kid. I was a traumatized kid. Because I was in the shadow of the Holocaust, living in an anti-Semitic society. You're a Jew living in it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. We live in our past, we're finished. But if we don't live in our past, we're finished as well. Because we have to live in the past of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron. The past of Matan Torah, Har Sinai. We live it every day. It's amazing. So we do need the past, but we don't need to focus on the bad parts of the past. We have so much good things we can talk about. Or some people just live in the future. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. How am I going to live my life, my Torah? I don't have enough money when I retire. What am I going to do tomorrow? So I have two kinds of people. One living in the past, one living in the future. Both disasters. Why? Because there's no present. They skip the present. Every day, Hashem gives us 86,400 seconds. He credits to our bank account. 86,400 seconds. Hard to imagine, right? We have 86,000. I'll say a few times because I have a few seconds to go. 86,400 seconds every day Hashem is crediting to our bank. After you delete the amount of time you take to sleep, you're quite a lot of seconds each day. Invest your seconds wisely. This is something you have to teach our children. Use them for appreciation. It's a very big mitzvah. Appreciate. Hakarat Hatov. Yesterday, we read, Yitro says, Baruch Hashem. Yitro, a non-Jew. It's amazing how non-Jews have to come and tell the Jews, thank God for saving you from the Mount. Thank God for saving you from crossing the sea, the Egyptians, and thank God for saving you from Amalek. Joy, accomplishing, growing, developing character. Imagine, what a powerful thing. Use these seconds wisely. The seconds come, the seconds just gone. Second just gone, boom. Even your past seconds were not spent the way you would have wished. With the present level of your brain's understanding, you can make positive choices this very second. Do not allow the past to cause you a loss of your present and your future seconds. That's the problem. The problem says, my past. You know, we're so lucky, you know why? We have a thing called Teshuva. Not only can we change our past and erase it, we can make it into good. A person can take their bad, look at this, powerful. A person can take their bad past, and with their teshuva can make it into something good, positive experience. Tell Hashem, I really regret my past. I wish I was doing positive things instead. Hashem says, okay, you got it. If that's what you wish, you get it, your wish. It's amazing, amazing concept. It says, what does the Pirkei Avot say? It says, a few seconds of good deeds and Torah in this world is worth the whole of next world. Seconds a person uses for good deeds and for teshuva. Because those things tissue in the head. They're getting more reward now than get for the whole next world. Amazing. Do not allow the past to cause you a loss of your present and future seconds. You can never know what the future seconds of your life will be like. But as your brain masters the ability to make the most of the present seconds, you'll be able to be calm about the future. So let's live in the present. That's so hard. A lot of people today don't live in the present. They're living. Can you imagine? A guy walks into work. What time is lunch? Oh, well, I'm going to eat lunch. Where are we going to go for lunch? We're going to go for lunch. Well, he's thinking about his lunch. That's what he just walked in the door. He's thinking about lunch already. And then when he comes home, he's thinking about his dinner. What's for dinner? What about the present? What about your doing? What about your teaching? What about your working? What about your... Nothing. Not important. So you're losing your present. Your present is nothing. The person's going to make their present count. Every second count. So hard. So when the future becomes the present, your brain will make the best use of those seconds as they are experienced one by one. Suppose you're going to live in the present. Make it every second count. If you feel overwhelmed, you don't have to cope for that second. I'm overwhelmed for the second. So bad. Only 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. Day by day, as people say. Live life day by day. Just day by day. That's how a person is happy. Day by day. I don't think about the future. Worry about the future. In the present, you can choose words and actions that will enhance your life. In the present, you can focus on joyous thoughts. In the present, you can reframe things in ways that enable you to enjoy more and suffer less. Each second, your brain chooses wise words. That's the problem. We have to choose wise words, wise actions, and thoughts. So that's a very important class. I think I'm going to come back with it next week. Make the present count. Thank you for coming out today, and we'll continue.